The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I'd like to welcome all of you here this morning, especially those who you have joined us via the internet. We're so glad that you could find the time to tune in to that little computer box and be with us, and not vicariously, but in a very real way. And so we appreciate you being here, and as a body of believers, I can speak for everyone that's here, that we've prayed for you, and we believe that you would be here, that God would open the doors, and you could be here. A year ago, we planned it and prayed about it, and now it's a reality. So we're so glad that you're with us today. Today's message is, before I get into the message, just one thing I want to remind you of. If you haven't already done so, there's a sign-up sheet in the back for the Valentine's Banquet, and it's going to be at Joyce and Dornell's in Old Town. So if you don't know how to get there, you can ask Reggie or someone, an old-time Slidellian, and they'll tell you how to get there. We'd like for everyone to come, wear your festive red Valentine cover colors. I've asked that you dress up some. I know some of you guys have a great aversion to wearing a tie. Just wear a rope around your neck or something, you know, if you don't, if you need to. But we want to try to make it dressed up. The ladies really appreciate that, so we're going to do that. And the cost of that is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $20. You can order off the menu. So if you want to eat a steak, I'm sure it's going to be a little bit more than if you eat a little pasta. So you can adjust what you eat. And it's not just for couples. If you're single, you're invited to come, okay? Now back to the sermon. I don't know that I've ever heard a series on this subject before. I don't know that I've ever heard a sermon on this subject before. And I think the reason for it is it's such a big topic to try to grasp, try to articulate, to try to illustrate verbally, to bring to some kind of realization about this topic of the glory and the majesty of God. I mean, that's a pretty big subject. I've discovered through the study, and this has been on my mind and heart for months now, and I've been wrestling with it and praying about it daily. I said, Lord, if you don't give me something, I don't know what to say. And so I've been praying and studying and reading, and so I gathered enough to try and bring the message to you. But I want you to, as best you can, to let your spiritual imagination just grow a bit, okay? To try to think outside of that proverbial box. Whatever box you've got God in, I want you to let him out, all right? As the scripture in the psalmist said, that my soul escapes like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. Well, we've kind of, in many ways, we've put God in a snare. One of my favorite authors talks about how whatever your image is of God, that's the biggest God can be in your life, because you restrict him by not believing him for greater things. So the reason we're doing this is to try to get you to expand yourself to believe God for greater things than maybe you ever have before. And we're going to use for a text probably one of the best illustrations where we see the glory of God mentioned, although it's mentioned as somewhere around 500 times in the Old and New Testament combined. That's a lot of references. So let's go to Exodus chapter 33. And this is Moses on Mount Sinai receiving the tablets of stone, the law, and having an interaction with God. And verse 18 says, then Moses said, now show me your glory. I love that boldness. I mean, that is boldness. You know, we normally go to God and say, God, would you do this for me? And he says, God, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And the next slide, it's not coming up for some reason, all right? Well, I happen to have it here in living black and white in my notes. So I'm going to finish that up for you. I don't want you to miss it. Oh, there it is. Okay, good. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one has seen me, may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the glorious preservation of your word. Not only did you inspire it, but you preserved it through the eons and the ages that we might have it today in this place. Lord, thank you for it. Let it pierce our souls. Let us have a greater understanding and greater wisdom of who you are as we study about your glory and your majesty. And we pray together in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The glory of God is seen throughout creation. We just need to open our eyes to take a look. We see him in the heavens, thanks to the Hubble telescope. We've seen even more than heavens than generations before us had ever imagined were out other than just the stars in the darkness of the night. We see him in the face of a child. We see the glory of God. We see God's glory in the scriptures when we read the scriptures. And, you know, sometimes it just comes alive. It just reaches out from the pages and pierces your soul. I remember when I was in seminary and I was studying for a final exam in one of my classes, and I was in the library in a little cubicle just studying away, trying to memorize all the things I needed for that class. And in the middle of that, the glory of God showed up in that little cubicle, and I just experienced God in a very unusual way. It was just a great time with the Lord, but it came from my studying of the scriptures. And what was an academic exercise became a spiritual encounter with God. We see the greatest manifestation of the glory of God and the majesty of God in his only begotten Son, Jesus. If you want to know what God's like, go look at Jesus, because he is the expressed image of the Father. The message and personality of Christ is the message and personality of the Father. We see it in the lives of other believers. We see it in each other. Every once in a while, there's a little glimmer of the glory of God that just radiates from a person. It's in a gentle touch. It's in the sweet words of a wife about her husband this morning as we stall with Fran and Tommy and George and Gail. That glory of God that knits people together, and we see it and we hear it in believers. There's only one glory. They're not glories, but there's only one glory, and the only source of that glory is God himself. So when you see or experience the glory of God, you're seeing a reflection of God himself. So what is this glory and what is this majesty? I'm doing my best feeble attempt here to try to give you a handle to grab onto. But it's the very essence and it's the very character of the divine being himself. It's his essence. It's what he is. It's his composition. You remember several months ago I did a series about the DNA of God. It's that and so much more. In that series, I was looking more with a microscope than I am today. Today, I'm looking with a broad telescope to try to get as much in as I can. And it's who God is. When you see God, you see his glory. When Moses, in the scripture we read this morning, when he saw God pass by the backside of God, he saw the glory of God. And when this life on earth is finished, when this mortal body of yours has been laid to rest, when we stand in our glorified bodies before the majesty of God, we will see the glory and the majesty of God in all of its radiance. Here we get glimmers. There we'll see the entire thing. It's reflected in his presence. Isaiah chapter 6 said, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And old Isaiah fell on his face. He said, woe is me, for I am unclean and I dwell among unclean people. In the glory of God, in the way we are right now, that's the way that we would see ourselves. But when this life is over, as I said, we will not see ourselves in this flesh that we carry around, but we'll see ourselves in that glorified body that Jesus has. You know, even Paul said, I can't tell you what it'll be like, but I can tell you this, it'll be just like Jesus' body. When I was a young man in the Lord, and Pat and I had gone to visit with some folks after church one Sunday night, and we were just so new. I mean, we didn't know the Old Testament from the New Testament. I mean, we were, you know, we were blank pages. And there were a couple of ministers there who were older than us. We were in our 30s at that time. I was in my 30s. Pat was a little younger. She was just a child. And she still is. And these two elderly preachers of the gospel were just sharing stories. It was like the clashing of swords and the ring of metal, and sparks were flying as one would tell a story and another. And this one finally said to the other one, as if he had the quintessential thing to say, and he said, you know why we can't go to heaven and see God in our bodies? And the other guy just kind of, like he hadn't maybe thought about that. And before he had a chance to answer, he said, I'll tell you why. He said, because if this mortal flesh was to see God, it would explode into a billion pieces in the presence of God. He said, and we need to have a new body that can withstand the glory of God. Wow, now there's a picture. There's a guy who spent time in the scripture. There's a guy who was on his knees. There's a guy who searched for God, and he had discovered that great truth. And that still rings true in my ears today as I heard them say that. And I was just astounded then, as I am astounded today, to even think about that. There's the evidence of God's glory in his very being. In the book of Exodus, as we just read, he said, when my glory passes by, his being, his attributes, he's not a disemboweled, disenfranchised vapor of some kind that's just kind of blanketing the heavens. He is an eternal being with form and color and presence. Now, I can't prove this to you, but it's my opinion. You know, we talk about seeing the triune God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I just have a feeling what we're really going to see is the glory of God himself. You know, just the glory of, and it'll be manifest in such a way that we will be able to see and know who we're looking at and who we're seeing. He could pass by Moses. He said, you can see the back, but you can't see the front. Now, there are those who would believe, and I don't dispute their belief, that was the pre-incarnate Christ that passed by, the glory of God. The glory of God is manifest in Christ himself. So that has a measure of truth to it. And I'm not smart enough to figure all that out. I'm just trying to lay it out for you in some way that we can hold it today. His splendor is his personality. In the book of Exodus, when Moses saw the burning bush, and he was He saw it, that it wasn't consumed. He'd seen bushes burn before out in the desert, but this one wasn't consumed. And he went over to it, and out of that bush came the voice, which we all know, and God spoke to Moses in that burning bush. And Moses was given a commission to go and set the captives free. And he said, but when I go, whom shall I tell them sent me? And he heard the words that we have heard so many times when he said, tell them, I am. I am. Not I was, not I'm going to be, but I am. Theologians have puzzled over that, and I think the thing that I've heard that probably describes it the best. I am exactly what those people need, and I am exactly what you need today. No matter what you're going through in life, you're going through a struggle, your kids are out of control, your marriage is in trouble, your finances are wrecked, your health is deteriorating, you're getting older, you're getting fatter, you know, you're losing your hair, you know, you're wrinkled, you know, all the things that we worry about so much, you know, in life, you know, all those things. He said, I am what you need. Stop looking in the blooming mirror so much and start looking in the face of God and see his glory, because you were created in Christ in the image of God. Hallelujah. His glory, let's talk about that a little bit more, is described as splendor and as light. He is that perfect light. In him, there is no darkness. Now, you know, darkness is not something that God created. Darkness is the absence of light. So darkness exists where God is not. Amen. Remember the New Testament? It talked about Jesus, you know, being the Word, being born. It says, in the darkness, in your King James, it says, could not comprehend it. But a better translation, it could not stop it. It could not keep where it was. You know, it's the thing, like you light a candle in a room, it illuminates that whole room. Light that we see in the stars, those little twinkles of light from millions of light years away. You can't stop that light. You can reflect it and you can turn it another direction. You can bend it. You can examine it, but you just can't stop it. Only the presence of evil can do anything to try and hinder it. But light can pierce the darkness. Light that pierces the very darkness. He dwells in eternal light. For he is, by definition, light itself. In the book of Genesis, it says that he spoke and said out of him, he said, let there be light. In the book of Genesis, the writer says, and there was light. And the darkness disappeared. God in his manifest glory was shed throughout the entire universe that you and I might see it today. That's the personality, the presence, the essence of God himself. Let there be light in the book of Genesis. And all the way back or forward, depending on how you want to look at it, into the New Testament. In the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the scriptures that we have inspired and preserved by God, it says this in chapter 21, verses 22 through 27. I did not see a temple in the city, talking about the New Jerusalem, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Here's what I want you to see. The city, that new city, that destination for all of us, does not need sun nor moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives its light. There it is. From Genesis to Revelation. The glory of God. And it's there. And it says that the Lamb is its lamp. Showing the presence of Jesus in the midst of all that. So that New Jerusalem, you won't have any light switches. You won't walk into any dark rooms. You won't go outside and be afraid of the darkness. For the light of God, the glory of God, will be manifest for you to see. I'm telling you what, this ought to even get the Baptist shout this morning. I'll tell you, this is good preaching. They ain't heard this sermon before. Woo! Glory to God. Those of you who keep track of things have probably figured out by now there's no way I'm going to get through this sermon this morning. Now, that's all right. I don't have an agenda to get through it. I'd rather have one page of my notes to get that through, that we have a grasp on it, than get through the whole thing and everybody walk out scratching their head saying, what is that guy talking about? His majesty. Majesty. Worship His majesty. Woo, I wish I could sing. Man, this is eternal authority. That's His eternal authority. That's who He is. We talk about the majesty of a king. His will, God's will in the kingdom is never questioned. We see a picture of that in the book of Esther. Remember Esther? Couldn't go in the presence of the king, unless the king had bid her to come. And he did. And that's a picture of the majesty of God bidding you and I to come into his presence. We can go into the very presence of God. The temple veil, and it was torn in two. You know why? To show us that we could have entrance into that most holy place. We could go where God is. We could be in his presence. He tells us in the New Testament, to come boldly before the throne of God. Amen. We can enter in. Amen. We can be with him. Whoo! Jesus did exactly what his Father told him to do. And he was a reflection of the glory and majesty of God when he did it. The Holy Spirit today, Reggie was talking about this Wednesday night. I believe it was Wednesday night he talked about it, about the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people, but then he would leave. He never came and stayed. But in the New Testament, oh, praise God, hallelujah, somebody stand up and start shouting. I'm telling you what, in the New Testament it says, that the glory of God dwells within you. Amen. Know you not that you are the temple of God? Amen. And that God himself, the Spirit of God, all of his light and all of his glory, all of his majesty dwells within you. Amen. And all of his authority has been passed on to us in the kingdom of God. That we can speak the name of Jesus and demons will flee and sickness will flee and depression will flee because of the name and the power of Jesus that has been given unto us. The keys of the kingdom have been presented to us. Hallelujah. And it resides within this temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when they built the temple, Solomon's temple, and the priest and everyone showed up and the sacrifices began? And it says that a cloud filled the temple. It wasn't a dark cloud, friends. It was a cloud of light. And they fell on their faces in the presence of God. Woo! That same glory of God dwells within you and me. We are children of light and not of darkness. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our sins have been nailed to the tree. He became sin for us. He made a show of our enemies publicly at Calvary's tree in his glory and in his majesty for you and I. Amen. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I'm telling you what, I'm getting pumped up. I might just get raptured out of here. Woo! Glory to God. Isn't that good stuff? Lord, you're doing what I couldn't do. It's revealing yourself to us. Lord, we're experiencing you even now. Even now, we're experiencing you in this place. Your glory and your majesty. And all darkness must flee. All unbelief must flee in the presence of you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah to your name, oh God. Woo, glory to God, glory to God. I need to slow down. I'm never going to get through this. Not that I want to. Majesty. Y'all can sing that song. Worthless and stand up. Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty. Ring of authority. From his own unto his own, his anthems raise. Woo, glory. Lift up high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify the King of our kings. Majesty, worship his majesty.
Jesus,
who died, now glorify, King of all kings. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Man, oh man. Woo. The question I want to address is, can we experience the glory and the majesty of God? I think we just did. I think we just did. I think we are. Even now. I want to use for this. That was the introduction to the series, and this is the sermon introduction.
Amen.
Glory to God. We'd be so introduced, we'd feel like a politician at a money fundraising banquet here, I tell you. Introduced so many times. Hallelujah. Let's look at 2 Peter. Are you saying something back there, Jim?
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We'll even yahoo on that one. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain. Now here's a guy that you pay attention to because he's got something to say. He's got something to say. I'd encourage you to take some time and go read 2 Peter. Read just three little books. Just read them. It wouldn't take you long to read them when you get home, or read them this week. Read them before the Super Bowl. Make you really happy. There are several occasions in the scriptures where we actually see people who have experienced God. I mean, they've experienced him. We just read about Peter. But it's a relatively long list, but I just want to take a few and just talk about them briefly this morning. Abraham, as I mentioned earlier, experienced the presence of God. And what happened when he experienced the presence of God? Something very, very important happened. He established the covenant. That covenant was established. And God said, "Abraham, come with me." And he took him outside. He said, "Do you see?" He could have said, which he did. He said, "Could you see the glory of God in the heavens? Do you see the stars?" And Abraham, with his human eyes, couldn't see what Hubble can see today. But as many as he saw, he said, your descendants will be like this. And you know, Abraham wasn't quite there yet, because he said, how could this be? I'm an old dude. My wife's an old gal. We didn't have any children. How is this going to happen? It doesn't say this in the scripture, but God could have said, pay attention, Abraham. You haven't heard me yet. But it will come to pass. And it is coming to pass this very day. For we are children of Abraham. We are part of a new covenant that grafts us in to that old covenant. And the old, and it's a better covenant than what that old was. We are now part of Israel. We are part of Abraham's seed spiritually. We've been made. We are glimmering stars and images of light within the glory of God. You know, I forgot about something. I'm going to share something with you. Many years ago, I couldn't have been in the Lord more than 4 or 5 years at the most. I was praying, kneeling beside my bed and praying, and I had a vision, a manifest vision in my spirit, and I saw a dark cloud. I mean, really dark. It was really like dark mud, and just kind of like, and it kind of was like over the earth. And all of a sudden, little beams of light were just kind of radiated up out of that darkness. It's kind of like a beam of bright, bright imagery light, like one of these bright LED lights that we have today. And when I saw that, I didn't quite know what it was. I didn't quite comprehend then, and not until the Lord just called it to my attention just here this morning, that those beams of light were you. You're the light that breaks forth out of the darkness on the earth. You are the light of the world. You are, and it's not hid under anything, but it's released that it might show the world the glory of God. This world needs to see God's glory, friend. They've seen too darn much stinking religion, too many rules and regulations, too many burdens put on people's hearts and minds and wear them down. Jesus said to the people of his day, said, you won't enter in, and you put such burdens on people that they can't enter in. If people could only see the glory and splendor of God in you, it might make a difference. They might see. They need some light. This world is just flowing in darkness. And you are that light. You can bring that light to the world. Another guy who saw and experienced God was Moses. As we read earlier, on that mountain, he was given a commission at the burning bush to go set the captives free. And on that mountaintop, God gave him the law. And he gave him the law so that people would know that they needed help. They needed the glory and majesty of God. But it was there that Moses saw God himself. And in the coming weeks, I'll be talking about this in greater detail. But the glory of God radiated so brilliantly from Moses that he had to put a veil over his face. And it says in the New Testament that glory was fading, because it was only for a moment in time when Moses was in God's presence that way. And that Shekinah glory is a word that I've heard used, that was upon him, began to diminish. It was diminishing from the time it was there, getting less and less and less. But it says that in the New Testament, that the glory of God that is ours in Christ is increasing and not decreasing. There's a greater glory on you today than there was yesterday. And there'll be a greater glory tomorrow than there is today. For God is releasing more and more of His glory and His splendor and His majesty within you. This flesh is decaying, but this inner man is getting stronger day by day. You see that? You hear that? That you're getting better. What Moses had was fading. It was an old covenant, an Old Testament that was fading. For there was ushered in a new and greater covenant. Go read in Hebrews chapter 11 where it talks about the faith, all the people of faith, Abraham and Moses and every, you know, down the line. And it says about the people who suffered so much. They were torn in two. They suffered. They were dismembered. They were burned. They were, you know, all these horrible things that happened to them. And it said, but what they had wasn't nearly as the thing that you and I have. For it's greater in the new covenant than it is in the old covenant. All right, and I'll be talking about that in some greater detail for you later. Isaiah experienced the Lord, as I mentioned to you earlier. He said, I saw the Lord. I love that, boy. I just love it. He said, year that King Uzziah died, when everything that people held dear, the king had served for a long, long time, he was a good king, and he died, and there was... you know, people were worried and concerned, and God gave a vision to this man, and he said, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up. Like, what are you worried about? It doesn't matter whether earthly kings live or die. It only matters that the King of glory lives forever. He said, I saw his glory. And he said there were winged angels around, and he sent one of those angels to pick up a cop flaming coal from the altar, and they flew over to where he was, and it touched his lips. And he heard God say, whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? And I love Isaiah. He said, here am I, Lord, send me. Have you ever said that to God? Lord, here I am, just send me wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. I'm yours, Lord. Use me as you see fit. That's what he did. He was a prophet, and God used him to write. And he gave us the most beautiful, detailed picture of the coming Christ that is written anywhere in the Scriptures. He wrote about Messiah. He wrote about the Savior. He wrote about the one to come. See what happens when you see the glory and the majesty of God? Things begin to change, don't they? That's what happened with Abraham and Moses and Isaiah. And Jesus himself experienced the manifestation of God. I'm not going to preach an old sermon, but I hope you've got this by now, that he was really a man. He was the incarnate Christ, but he was 100% man. And he laid down his deity. And he had this. He had the DNA and the glory and the splendor of God in him, but he had laid down all his heavenly powers. He said, the only thing I do is what the Father tells me to do. The only things I can do is what the Spirit enables me to do. That's what he said. And when he walked into those waters, and John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, whichever you prefer, and he said, John, baptize me. And John said, man, I need to be baptized by you, not you by me. And he said, just do it. And he did. And when he did, it says that the heavens opened and the glory of God came and rested upon him. And we hear again those great words, this is my son. Hear him. I'm well pleased with him. And the majesty of God was manifest on Christ that day. And from that day on, he was never the same. He was never the same. He was a man with his face set like flint to go to Calvary's tree. The apostles experienced the glory and the splendor and the majesty of God. They said it. We just read it. Peter said, we saw him. John wrote in the book of John, he said, we beheld his glory. Do you hear that? We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They saw with their fleshly eyes that promise of Isaiah, the promise of Abraham, the promise from the beginning in the garden, the promise of God himself. They saw that seed who trampled sin, death, and the grave under his feet. And they said, we saw him. Peter said, I love the way Peter said, we didn't come to you with fables. We didn't make this stuff up. It didn't come out of our imagination. In the book of Luke writes this, he said, most excellent Theophilus, he was commissioned, we believe, by Theophilus to write this book. He said, I have done a diligent study. I've examined the facts. I've talked to eyewitnesses about this so that you can know that what I am writing to you is true. And in that book of Luke, it speaks of this encounter with the majesty of God. They saw him. They experienced him. And what did it do to them? It changed normal working class people into great evangelists who turned the world around. What an awesome, awesome, awesome experience they had. And you know, they didn't get it most of the time. I mean, you read that in the scriptures. I mean, I like to read the scriptures with a human eye, which is the only one I've got, but I love it when Jesus would say something and give them a great truth, and they'd get on the side and say, what was that? Did you get that? Will you explain that to me? And many times they'd go back to him, and he would look at him and see that puzzled look on their contorted faces, and he would say, look, boys, this is what it is. And then he would explain it to them. And they still didn't get it. And they still didn't get it. And he knew that they wouldn't get it in the natural. But he said, don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until you've received the promise of the power of God. And when the Spirit of God comes upon you, then you can go. Amen. And they didn't need a green light to get them out of the and go. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, it had transformed them. They finally understood. And Peter, who never got it right, hardly ever, and I'm going to talk about him in a little bit, he walks out to the crowd who are there because there's this big ruckus going on. And he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Yes. That in the latter days, I will pour out my spirit upon all men. And your daughters shall prophesy, and your sons shall have visions. And the sun and the moon will change. And he goes into this long, great sermon. And when he gets finished, thousands and people came to the Lord. Amen. And great burst of lights pierced the darkness. And a handful of people who had an experience with the glory and the majesty of God went out and brought the message in such fervor and such strength and such power that it has moved through the ages and touched your heart. Amen. And brought you into the kingdom. The same power that touched them is the same power that touches you. Amen. The glory of God. The majesty of God. His presence with you. Beyond the description of human words, but the reality that changed the world. These messengers were sent out. These two bookends that I'm speaking about. One of them is glory. And it speaks of the presence in the being of God, His presence in His being, I am. In His majesty, His eternal authority and ability, I can. I am and I can. And He can do whatever it is that He desires to get accomplished upon this planet, upon this creation, and this portal of time and space that we live in, that His will is worked out in the lives of men and women and boys and girls and you in this room and those watching by the internet. That you can experience the presence of God, the glory of God, the majesty of God. Beloved, you have settled for too little. You have settled for the religion of your fathers and mothers who didn't know God from a post hole.
That's right. You're right. Amen.
But you have the truth. We beheld His glory, spirit, and in truth. That we could do things differently. Don't settle for second best in the kingdom. Don't say, oh, well, I could never have a vision of God. Oh, I could never hear from God. Oh, I could never receive the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. That's for other people. That's not for me. You have got an image of God that is keeping Him trapped in a bottle like a genie.
That's right. That's right.
It's time to release the power of God and tear down the walls that you've built, the walls that your ancestors have built, the walls that the religious people have built, and let the Spirit of God move. You need to experience God. Not a hear-so religion, not a know-so religion, but a religion that experiences God Himself. He came that you might know Him,
amen,
that the truth would set you free.
Amen.
Are you ready for that?
Yes. Yes. Hungry and thirsty.
Hallelujah. I'm ready for more. More of You, Lord. We sang songs this morning about the glory of God, the holiness of God, the majesty of God. Those are not words on a displayed on an overhead. Those are words of truth written by godly people who, in many cases, have experienced the splendor and the wonder of God. You need this. I remember, and I've told you this story before, one of my icons in Christendom is my dad. Not because he was so articulate, but because he was so foolish as to believe God. And he believed God. He believed Him. And the story goes that my dad had come to the Lord. I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord. And when he was 6 years old, something like that. And he had grown up in a very religious, strict denomination. And I won't give you the name of it. It can be whatever one you want it to be. But when he came to the Lord, he just got so fired up. Here's a man with a fourth grade education. He had to quit school when he got strong enough to go work on the farm to help feed his 12 brothers and sisters. He had to work. Never had the privilege of an education like many of you have. And my daddy couldn't read very well. I remember when he was in an industrial accident. He got hit in the head. Well, that's another long story, which I won't go into. It wasn't exactly an accident. A guy got mad at him and hit him in the head with a hammer. So almost killed him, and he couldn't do the work that he used to do. There was a position available, but it was a management position. And my dad didn't know how to read well enough to pass the little test that he was going to have to pass in order to do that. And I remember just as a little boy, my mother teaching my dad how to read enough that he could pass that little simple test so he could take that job, which he did. Wasn't smart. He was smart, all right. He just didn't know how to read. And he never did read very well. But lo and behold, in his mid-60s, the Holy Spirit showed up. And I bought him his first Bible and gave it to him. And that old man started reading that book. Until this day, I can't tell you how he read it, except that the Spirit of God taught him how to read.
That's right.
And he could read that book. And he not only read it, he understood it. And it changed him. And he could speak to other people about it. That little old man And I say little because I'm 6'1". He was a shrimp. I mean, he barely as tall as his pulpit. He was a little taller than that. But he's a little guy. He led more people to the Lord than anybody ever known. He transformed the place where he worked from a place filled with men who cussed and didn't believe God to when he left out of that place. He worked in that place for, I think, some 10 years before he finally went into total retirement. And there were Bible studies all over that place because that little Italian man would break out his Bible at lunch and pull it out of his lunchbox and sit out there and read his Bible and tell other people about Christ. Just what a one single solitary man who wanted to believe God and search for God and spoke of God. There was a family that worked at the place with my dad. And there was a grandfather and a father and a son. The son was 18, and I don't know how old the grandfather was. And my dad had talked to the grandfather, tried to talk to him about the kingdom. And the old man wasn't interested. He said, "Angelo, I'm not interested in all of that." And he would use some expletives that you don't want to hear. And his son worked there, and my dad would try to talk to him, and he said, "Angelo, that bunch of junk for kids and women, that ain't for men. He's a tough, you know, working guy, hard-working guy in a factory." And their grandson, that the older man's grandson, came to work there, and my dad was met the boy and started talking to him about the Lord. And the grandfather walked in when my dad was doing it. They said, "Angelo, stop filling that boy's mind with all that blankety-blank stuff." Said, "He doesn't need to hear all that. He's got his life ahead of him. He's got some oats to sow. He's got something to do. Don't you be filling him with all that stuff." And he grabbed the boy and took off with him. Next day, when the plant opened, that grandfather and that father ran to my dad and said, "Angelo, our boy died last night. Angelo, is he in heaven? Tell us, did he hear what you had to say?" And I said, "I don't know. I could tell you this. He knew. I told him. I don't know whether he believed or not, but I told him. I said, Angelo, we need to know." And he said, "I can't tell you for sure, but what about you?" And my dad led those two men to the Lord. And that son, the one in the middle, turned his life over to the Lord. And is actually, so far as I know, still preaching the gospel today. You see what the glory and the splendor of God revealed to you can do? My dad didn't have any special talents. He couldn't. He murdered the King's English, as they say. Between his gravel voice and his Italian accent and his lack of education. But when he talked about God, something was different. Because he had experienced the King of Glory. Have you experienced the King of Glory? I mean, I know you're saved. But have you kind of gotten used to that? Is it kind of, "Oh, yeah, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. Woohoo, yay." And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's awesome. But have you ever had a thirst for God? To see more of God? Yes. To know more about Him? Yes. To experience Him? And I know your flesh is telling you, "Oh, well, that can't happen to me." Well, as long as you feel that way, it probably won't. But how's about giving it a try? You are so primed for experiences with God. You've been through the 21 days of fasting and prayer and giving. By the way, giving's kept going up. We're over $6,600 now. I mean, there's more coming in. Don't be bashful. You want to give more to it? Just go ahead and give. Just put on your envelope, fasting. We'll know what it's for. We'll keep track of it. It'll let us get more stuff. We got a new TV back there for the nursery because of that. The other one just wouldn't work, and it finally died this week, so we got a new one. I need to be careful when I talk to you like this, because sometimes it sounds like I know something you don't know. You know, it sounds like I'm better than you are, you know? And if that's what you're hearing, you're missing the point. I'm trying to get you to do and be and look and search for something more than what you've had. I know many of you want more. Some of you are bound in bad habits you can't get out of. You want to know God. You want to understand the scriptures. You want to be more effective for Christ. That's what you want. Well, I'm telling you, it's available, but it's available in the presence of God. Yes. You know, don't misunderstand what I'm going to tell you. Reading your Bible is good. I love to read the Bible. I mean, it's great. But you know, comes a time you need to read it and put it down and start thinking about what it says and start letting it affect you. Let the Spirit of God that's in this book change you. Stop living it that old way. And don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at yourself. Don't get mad at somebody. Get mad at the devil. Amen. You know, get mad at somebody who never told you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. You know, I sometimes wonder why we just have a handful of people in here other than you glorious people out on the internet, which makes expanded our group. But, you know, I don't think a lot of folks can handle what you're learning in this place. I don't think they can handle it. But you're here faithfully every week. You keep showing up. Why don't you just give it a try? Why don't you just find a... Let's talk to the Lord. And I didn't even get to point one on this sermon. Man, how pathetic is that? Man. Oh, there's so much more I want to say. I'm just going to draw a period there. You hear me? Let me rephrase that. Have you heard the Spirit of God?
Yes.
Have you heard, did you hear the Spirit of God speaking to you? Is something inside of you saying, that's true? That's true? And that it's for you? It's not for me. I mean, forgive me for being crass, but I got mine. You get yours? Why not you? Is there something wrong with you? Is there something spiritually deficient about you? I think you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, don't you? The same Spirit that dwells in everyone that becomes a believer. There's no body in the kingdom that's better than anyone else. But why? Y'all like to cruise. I've told the story years and years ago, but I'm going to tell it to you and then I'm going to close. There was a guy who went on a cruise. He wasn't as smart as some of you are who go on cruises. And he was cruising from Europe to America. And he was a poor man. And he got enough money together to buy his ticket. And he was kind of embarrassed about his clothes and embarrassed about who he was. But he got on board that ship, and he was heading for the promised land. He was coming to the land of America where a man could be free and do all things. And every day when it came time for people to go to the nice buffet and eat in the restaurant and have all of the servers taking care of you, he had brought with him some cheese that he knew wouldn't go bad and some hard-tack crackers. And he kept them hidden in his bunk. And when everyone else went to eat steak and potatoes and, you know, caviar and all that stuff, he was eating cheese and crackers. And that went on the whole trip. And it was the last day of the trip, and he had befriended some people. And it came time for their last evening meal, and he was excusing himself. And one of the guys said, oh, come on and eat with us. And he said, no. And he never, you know, just kind of making excuses. And they said, come on and come join us and sit at our table. And he said, I didn't have enough money to get a meal ticket. So I only had enough money to get a cruise ticket. And so I've just got some stuff to sustain me until I can get to America in a decent meal. The guy said, my God, man, didn't you know that the food was included in the ticket to get here? Are you eating cheese and crackers when the Holy Spirit paid for the banqueting table? Let's all stand.
Could I give a witness to the church for just a second about the glory of God?
Okay.
God, if you heard my testimony a couple of weeks ago when we had that testimony Sunday, I have experienced the glory of God. I have had that revelation of the Lord Himself. And I have seen with these two eyes years ago when I was in Word of Faith in New Orleans, in the midst of praise and worship, I opened my eyes and the whole place was filled with the cloud of the glory of God. I thought the first time I saw that, I didn't know what it was. I said, who in the world is smoking in church? Because it was like clouds of smoke all over the place. But I've seen that. And since I have entered the doors of this church 4 years ago or whatever it was, I have been praying that that same thing would happen in this church. Amen. I asked the Lord, before I die or before I go by the way of the rapture, I want to see the glory of God in this house.
Amen.
And I want to see His manifested presence in the cloud of the glory.
Amen.
Now, I'm admonishing each and every one of you here today. Begin to pray for that. I have been praying for it, like I said, ever since I've been here. But I'm admonishing each and every one of you. Be hungry. Be thirsty. Don't go to sleep. Don't wake up in the morning. Don't go to lunch, a job, or whatever without praying and asking God for the glory of God to be made manifest in a visible way. Here, we're seeing, I am seeing, and I'm saying this to you in a way of congratulations and blessing to you. I am seeing a great change taking place in you, Pastor. The glory of God is descending upon you. But I'm not satisfied with just only seeing it on you. I want to see it on every face in this place. You understand? And I'm admonishing you by the Spirit of God today. Prophetically, I'm speaking. It will happen. But not until you get hungry and thirsty enough 24 hours a day to be seeking it in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I admonish you to do it.
All right. Hey, don't preach my sermon. I got more of a sermon coming.
I want to share this too. I'm just overwhelmed by what the Spirit has shown me about 2 weeks ago. But I know now. You know, He's shown me all this morning. He's going to give you things. Mm-hmm. He's coming.
Ooh.
And He wants us to just relax in the Spirit.
Yes.
And know that and be comfortable in His Spirit.
That's a good word.
He's gonna be here. Mm-hmm. He's going to share with us. We're going to be overwhelmed, but just relax and realize and be comfortable. Be comfortable.
Amen.
Just relax in Him and know that He's God. And He's the Spirit.
That's a good word. That's
and,
a good
and just,
word.
And I see it. I see Woo. It on my past. I know. And we're experiencing it. This is
yes.
just the beginning.
Yes.
And he's just gonna overwhelm us. But we have to just relax in Him and accept Him and constantly know that we're capable, that we're able to see Him and to believe what's gonna happen and to know. And trust and
yes,
know
yes.
that he's capable, and we worthy by Jesus Christ. We worthy.
Yes.
You know, to accept Him and be capable to just be comfortable, and the glory of God
yes.
is going to be here.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. His glory is already here.
Oh yeah.
You know we. Those of you who were here the last day of the of fast, we had just an awesome experience. It's in the top three services I've ever been in. People just amazed me. I asked for an offering. You brought everything, you know, for a small congregation. I mean, it's incredible what you did. But the excitement that you had about participating in it was just a miracle. You know, more and more of it's happening. We're seeing the presence of God just showing up in this place.
Amen.
Amen. And I had a thought, but it escaped me for a minute. I must drop the bit, as they say. Oh, I know it. We saw it when you all got up and sang that song this morning. Spontaneously, majesty, the majesty of God. Evidently, something's going on behind me that I don't know about. So, But while they're doing whatever they're doing, I want to pray for Reggie. Reggie was sick Wednesday, and he came here this morning, and he left out of here sick. So let's just lift up Reggie. He's our associate pastor, and we love him. And Father, you know Reggie's situation. And Lord, we've been talking about you and your glory and your majesty. And Lord, that glory and that majesty can touch Reggie Hope. And Lord, we can speak words of faith from this building to where he is, and we do, Lord. And we say, Reggie, be made whole in the name of Jesus. Whatever the source of the sicknesses that's bothering you, be healed and delivered from it right now. Father, would you send warring angels to Reggie right now and bring the balm of Gilead and just pour that healing ointment upon him that he can be healed right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.